As we left off on Sunday, we were trying to go through some of the raya's that the Rishonim bring back and forth to Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, where the Chetich HaSavir makes sense outside of the realm of Bas B'Cholov. So the Gemara, we spoke about the Mishnayos and Maseches Trumas. So we pointed out that those Mishnayos don't seem to indicate anything because that's Yavish B'Yavish, and the Yavish there doesn't seem to be anything to discuss. What about the Sugyas in Avodah Zarah? That was the Sugya, the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. So with the Gemara quoted Machlokes and Aroim, vis-a-vis a Stam Yenim, a Nesach that gets mixed in, and an Aser is a little bit, and then it subsequently more that some of that first Arovus falls into the second Arovus. So there was Machlokes and Aroim, whether you need enough to be Mevatel the whole first Arovus, or whether it's enough just to be Mevatel the original treif of wine. So that was a Machlokes. So Ben Ephraim said that the starting point of that Machlokes was that you don't say Chatich and Aser B'Shari Surin. That's what the din should have been. And those who are machmerin, Yai Nesach is a special quirk of a chumra of Hilchos Yai Nesach, just as Yai Nesach asas b'mashu, while they're dinim that are different from other Hilchos Tarovas. And Rabbi Natam responded by saying, no, that the starting point of that sugya is Taka, you don't say Chetich Nasas Neveila, but not because it's Shari Surim, but because the Yisra was only created through Nisimashu in the first place, and whenever there's Nisimashu, you never say Chetich Nasas Neveila. So we explained at the end of the Shir on Sunday why that should be so, because Chetich Nasas Neveila for Rabbi Natam is either the Ran's version, it's the Kazeir or Otobas Mecholov, where obviously Mashu would be irrelevant, or it's based on Yosan Ibishet, it's Tam Kikar, the Nebuch Leos Yisra, but also once again, you would need Tom Kicker for that, Isamash would be irrelevant. So, Bein Lefi Rabbeinu Tam, Bein Lefi Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Sugya of Avodah Zarah is not our Sugya. We don't know why it's not our Sugya, but it's not our Sugya. It's not Chetich HaNasveh B'Shar Sugya. That's not what's going on. What's going on is that there shouldn't have been Chetich HaNasveh for a variety of reasons, and Alpha Pichain, some Amorim threw in a Chumra at us of Avodah Zarah, another Amorim denied that. So, unlike Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Ramban in Maseches Avodah Zarah writes that he thinks that sugya in Avodah Zarah is very much our sugya. It's exactly our sugya. What do you have to say that everybody agrees? Da da da. No, it's not the first, not the last machlokes in the world, says the Ramban. So there's a machlokes, a Amoraim. And what is the nekudas of machlokes? Whether you say Chetich Nas Nveila, Bishari Surim. The same machlokes that appears in Avodah Zarah would appear by the chaz of falling onto the potatoes. It's the same piece, but it's the same sugya. It's a running machlokes. Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim do not have the monopoly on the machlokes. It started already back in the days of the Amoraim. Then the Ramban says, if you're already historically pushing the machlokes back, that is exactly what the Amoraim are fighting about at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. So says the Ramban, you could push it back even further. You can even find the Machlekes HaTanoim about this very topic. That's already more, takes more creativity. Where do you find the Machlekes HaTanoim about this topic with Chetich HaNasveh B'Shari Surim? So the Ramban starts looking. So he dug up a Mishnah in Maseches Mikvos. He says, Maseches Mikvos, that's the secret. That's where the whole Machlekes started. So before the Ramban came along, we thought that the Baalei HaTaisa started this whole ball rolling. So the Ramban pushed it back to the Amoraim, and now he further pushes it back to the Tanoim. What were the Tanoim? What were they fighting about? What were they arguing about? They were arguing about a psul in Uchas Mikvos called Mayim Shuvin. So we just need a drop of background. We're not learning Yerdei Chalei Beis now. We're going to have to know a little bit just to understand where the Ramban's coming from. So there's a din that Mayim Shuvin, any water that was in a kli, such as water in this bottle, water in this cup, these are all kalim. Water that's in a kli is going to pass on a mikvah. Mayim Shuvin passes a mikvah. Where did that din come from? What's that all based on? So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Is that a din derais? Is that a din derabanan? The Teres Kohanim quotes a pasuk for it, and it's unclear. Is that a pasuk the real derais or the smachla? Not clear. But everybody agrees that even if there's a din of mayim she'uvin passing a mikvah midaraisa, that only applies if you have a lot of the mikvah is shal. If most of the mikvah, rove of the mikvah is shal, it's mayim she'uvin. So that's going to potentially pass the mikvah derais. That's a way of machmer. Nuchas mikvahs, we try to go with that approach, that there is such a thing called mayim she'uvin deraisa, but it's very, very limited. It's highly unlikely you can really have that kind of a shayla. The din of mayim she'uvin that we usually discuss, which the Mishnayos discuss, is for sure only a din midrabanan. That's a din called gimel lugin. If you have gimel lugin, mayim she'uvin, a lug is not all that much. Revius, what we call a revius for a kiddush cup, is a revius a lug. So let's say approximately a revius is 3 ounces approximately, so a revius a lug, so a lug is 12 ounces. So gimel lugin is 36 ounces. Not so much. How much is this? 16.9 fluid ounces. So you're talking about two of these and a cup or something, so you have gimel lugin mayim she'uvin. So the Mishnah says in the beginning mikvah, it was actually machlokes HaTanoim, but we pass in the halacha, but gimel lugin mayim she'uvin pass the mikvah. That's only a psul b'derabanan. Even as Alzheimer's, there's a psul of mayim she'uvin deraisa, that wouldn't apply to such a small amount. But gimel lugin mayim she'uvin pass the mikvah. What's the din if you have a mixture now? You have a little bit of gimelugin fall into the mikvah. So we have a problem. So we have to declare the entire mikvah is possible. So the question is, let's say I had a mikvah supposed to have 40 so of water, minimum 40 so of water. So I had a little bit less than 40 so of water, so gimelugin that fell in. So I just declared that the mikvah is possible. Now, what do I have to do about that phenomenon, that the mikvah is possible? So there's a machlekes tanan. So one time it says, but all you have to do is to make sure that you get rid of the gimelugin. So if you get rid of the gimelugin, then you'll be home free. So if you, in theory, figure out how to get beneath the point of having a gimelugin there, then you'll be fine. So it's not going to require all that much tampering with the mikvah. Just make sure you get rid of those gimelugin. And other tanaim say, no, everything is ruined. It's a disaster. You got to get rid of everything. All the water just became treif water. All became possible water. Everything is called mayim shuvah. Now you got to empty out the mikvah and start from scratch again. So what's this machlekes tanaim? What are they fighting about in hukos mikvahs? So comes the Rabban and says, this is it. This is the shayla. Whether chaticha nas nedel, bishari surim. Doesn't it sound like that? That you have mayim she'uvin are getting mixed into mayim k'sherim, called megishamim, and they're passing up the other water. So why is this mikvah possible? Is this mikvah possible because of the gimel she'uvin, because of the gimel lugim mayim she'uvin shebo? That's the reason why the mikvah is possible. But the rest of the water is really omed behtero. Is that the pshat? I can't use this mikvah because nebuch, part of the water there is possible, so I don't have a kosher mikvah in front of me. I'm lacking the shear of a kosher mikvah, but the rest of the water still remains behechshero. Is that really what's happening? Or do I say no? Once I have a ta'arovis of my mshu'uv, with my megashom, my msherim, then the whole thing became possible, i.e. chatich nasas nevela. So the same way that we have a machlekes harishonim in hukas chatich nasas nevela, do you have to be mishar keneged the entire potato that became treif, or do you have to be mishar keneged just the chaza part that got mixed into the potato? It's haylach, that's the shah in hukas mikvos also. So says the Ramban, it's an age-old machlekes, going back to Mishnayos and Mikvos, to Gemaras and Avodah Zarah, to machlekes Rav Tam Ben Ephraim. What's the din chatich nasas b'shari? So the Ran quotes this Ramban, and he says that he doesn't understand what the Ramban is saying. He said, what in the world does this have to do with, does Hilchos Mikvos have to do with Yoredei, Chelek Aleph, with Hilchos Taraibus, with Hilchos Bas Mukhalif? The two have mamish nothing to do with each other. Why do the two have nothing to do with each other? Says the Ran, just a quick perusal of Hilchos Mikvos will indicate to you right away that the rules of Bittul that apply in Yoredei, Chelek Aleph have absolutely no place, Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumra, in Hukas Mikvos. Hukas Mikvos is clearly its own area of halacha. Moshe Mandav Adayim, says the Ram, there are dinim Hukas Mikvos that would never fly in Hukas Tarovas. L'Moshe. What's the din in the following case? Let's say you have already a kosher mikvah. I already have 40 saw of a kosher mikvah, and then I start to pour in Mayim Sh'uvim into the mikvah. So what's the din? The mikvah is perfectly okay. Not a shayla. The mikvah is het to go, it's kosher l'chadchila. The din of Mayim Sh'uvim only passes a mikvah when you're trying to make the mikvah in the beginning. Once you already have a kosher mikvah, you want to add as much mayim shuvah as you want to. Nothing's going to go wrong. Not only is that a theoretical din, every mikvah is like that. All of our mikvahs are built on that premise. Those who've been in my mikvah presentations, though, no one saw them. No one's in, when did I do it? It's in contemporary halacha. No, every couple of years I do it. No one was it? No one was that the one? Okay. So every couple of years they get me to do the contemporary halacha of mikvah construction. So every mikvah is built like that. You start off with a base of 40 saw of mayim megisham, come down from the heavens. They collect in the mikvah, and then you figure out all kind of kunsim to add on mayim shuvim. So there are a lot of kunsim and details. And those mikvahs had to add on those extra water that should remain a kosher. But every mikvah is based on the premise, b'zman is there, that once you have a kosher mikvah, you add on more, so that's perfectly okay. So says the Ran, if the Ramban is right, that Hukas Mikvos and Hukas Kashrus are really one and the same, so nobody would say such a thing, or maybe nobody, mostly nobody would say such a thing in Hukas Kashrus. Let's say if you start off with a kosher pot. So I start off with a pot of kosher cholent, and now a little bit falls in, and now a little bit more falls in, and now I got 10,000 times of chazer to one little pot of cholent. Would anybody ever say that that pot is mutter? Well, the rabbi would say, okay, well, come on, let's, you know, between friends. No one would ever say such a thing. So the Ran says, obviously, Hilchos Mikvos is not working with the rules of Hilchos Kashrus. And then, yeah, the other direction, says the Ran. Let's say you start off with you don't have a kosher mikvah yet, and a little bit of Mayim Shuvim falls in. So Gimelugin Mayim Shuvim falls into the mikvah, and then you realize, like, I got Gimelugin, so you don't bother taking out the Gimelugin. What do? You just add on more. You add more Megashamim. Now you have 10,000 gallons of Megashamim, and three little teeny weeny weeny Lugin of Mayim Shuvim somewhere in the bottom. So based on Hukas Kashrus, your Dechelik Aleph, that should be fine. What's the problem? It's Batla Barob, Aleph Masai, it's Batla a million times over. But in Hilchos Mikvos, that's not the case. In Hilchos Mikvos, you got to get rid of those Gimelugin. Whether you have to get rid of all Gimelugin or part of the Gimelugin, that's Machlokes HaTanoim, whatever it is. But all the water, whatever it is. But says the Rabban, nobody would ever say that the non-removal of the Gimelugin will still enable the mikvah to be kosher. Of course you got to get rid of something. Why do you have to undermine the Gimelugin themselves? So comes around and says, you see, Hilchos Mikvos is a different world here. Dech Lik Beis, Dech Lik Beis, not the same world. So that machlekes HaTanoim about whether the Gimel Lugim Ma'am Shuvim trapes up, so to speak, passes up the whole mikvah, whether it only passes up itself. So that's an interesting machlekes Hilchos Mikvos, but it has nothing to do with your Dech Lik Beis.
In Ahnami, according to the Ramban, Chetichon HaTarabela is not a din in food, it's a din in it's an abstract concept. When something falls into something else, do we see it if it permeates the whole thing?
But in Hilchos Mikvos is not working with those rules. Hilchos Mikvos and Hilchos Tarobos are not the same rules.
But I mean, mixtures and things fall into each other. Okay. That's what we're discussing. That and this abstract concept.
Okay, maybe. So defend the Ramban. Okay, you can defend the Ramban. Okay, good. No problem. Anyway, everybody say, at the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference. Because all the riots back and forth and back and forth, we're not going to come up with any convincing riot. Tosis, I think Tosis was marich a little bit on this topic. They spent enough time talking about this topic. They couldn't find the convincing Gemara, so it's hard for us to find a convincing Gemara that says something black and white about this topic. But a koponim, one of the pivotal Gemaras about Chetichon HaTanoim B'Shaar Isurim was potentially that Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, with so far three approaches we've shown them as to why that Gemara is not as pivotal as we thought it was. Either because that Gemara, Ben Ephraim says that Gemara, the Hanoch of that Gemara is that it's Lo Nasech, Chetichon HaTanoim B'Shaar Isurim. The Hanoch of Ben Etam was it was Nesai De Mashu, so therefore it's irrelevant to Chetichon HaTanoim B'Shaar Isurim. According to the Ramban, it was a pivotal Gemara, but it's a machlokes in the Gemara itself. So now you have a whole other group of Rishonim about to branch out and look at this Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah through a whole different set of eyes. And you have a whole group of Rishonim who come up with the following theory, that maybe Chetichon HaTanoim is the wrong sugya to be discussing when you're learning the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah, not because it's Shari Surim per se, and not because it's a Mashu, and not that it's a Machlokes. There's a whole other factor going on in the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's a fundamentally different type of a Ta'arovis. What type of a Ta'arovis is it? It is what's called a lach balach. It is water, wine. It's wine mixed together with wine. Tarovus of lach balach. Tarovus of lach balach. That's not the pasha. That is not the sugya of Chetichon HaTanoim. There's nothing to talk about. Once you have a tarovus of lach balach, so then you're in a whole different world. Chetichon HaTanoim doesn't kick in. So why does half the Amoran Aser and Avodah Zarah? It's a chum mishum Avodah Zarah. It's similar conceptually to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said Chetichon HaTanoim doesn't apply because it's a mashu. And the machlokes is, well, even though there's no real Chetichon HaTanoim, should we make it a Siddur Rabban anyway? So these Rishonim are all saying Te'echot for different reasons. Chetichon HaTanoim doesn't apply by Dover Lach. So here we begin a whole new dimension of the sugya of Chetichon HaTanoim the Dover Lach. Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim themselves don't differentiate, so they sound like they held that there is no real reason to differentiate, but there are G'dayli HaRishayim who very much differentiate, who very much say that Chetichon HaTanoim Taka does not apply to a Dover Lach. And the question is, why not? What's the Sisrei Torah behind the lack of Chetichon HaTanoim according to the Rishayim of Dover Lach? How many Birurim do we have in the Rishayim? Four, maybe? Okay, we'll see how many we can come up with. Different Birurim, different nuances in the Rishayim. Why such a cloud of some of the Biurim and the Rishonim touch upon principles that we've spoke about Chetichon HaTanoim before, and some of them a little bit slightly new. Some of the Rishonim focus on what we would call the Metzias dimension of Chetichon HaTanoim. So one possible focus on the Metzias dimension of Chetichon HaTanoim is taken by the Ravid. The Ravid says that what Chetichon HaTanoim really means is that you never really know how far things are going to diffuse properly. We're never really sure whether that potato, remember that first chaz that fell onto the potato, whether when you stick that potato into the pot of the subsequent second tarovis, whether you really have the right numbers or not. The Rashba said that a little bit, okay? So comes the Ravid and says that Chetichon HaTanoim is rooted ultimately in a Metzias problem. At least Chetichon HaTanoim B'Shaar Isurim for a moment. Chidas Nevela, at least Bashar Isum, is rooted in some degree from a Metzius problem, that you never really know how much chazer you have in that potato. You can't make you can't just make an assessment that, well, I have shishim. You never really know. It's hard to be mishara. This is a similar idea we already saw in the Rashba, where the Rashba was trying to explain away even Bidas, those who say there's no chetik sas by mishari surim. He still said v'efshel sochto stilosar, and one of the biurim was because you never really know what happens. So comes the Ravid and says b'med v'ar mamurim that there's a chashash that the diffusion maybe is not happening equally, is not happening properly, and now it's hard to tell. That's when you're dealing with not lach balach. When you deal with lach balach, everyone knows opening day science. What happens when you have lach balach? Everything is what? Beautiful, right? It's a beautiful diffusion. Everything is gevaldik. Everything is shalom Yisrael. And therefore, since everything spreads out so equally, so easily, so there's no chashashis, there's no sveikis, and therefore, echad kadas del v'dover lach. So this is a metzias oriented approach of v'dover lach. Yesh, what's a good word for diffusion? What?
Yesh.
Pashtas, okay. Pashtas. Okay. So last night when I was doing science homework with Avram Zev, I'm not sure what I say, I was doing science homework with Avram Zev, or the correct terminology is I was doing science homework for Avram Zev, because it was late and I wanted to go to sleep, so I probably did more than he did. But lo and behold, he was chazing over the unit about diffusion in cells. I got so excited, I was reading it so carefully about the high concentration to the lower concentration, and this with the osmosis and kashering, kashering started, salt, everything started like mixing into my mind. I was so excited. And then when I saw some line about how the liquids start to mix together, and there was a lashon, I wanted to write it down. There was a lashon in the seventh grade science book that said when the two liquids mix together, so they uniformly distributed or something. I got so excited. But the punchline of what I got excited was, they wanted to give an illustration for a seventh grader to understand that when you put things in, mix it in a liquid, it spreads out evenly. You won't believe what they gave. They gave an example. If you take food coloring and put it in, so everybody knows that the water now becomes the same color as the food coloring. Who's that? That was Tosfos Kashi against Rashi about the cooking the carrots, but the water turns orange. So I was like, Mamash, so excited. It was Mamash made my night last night. Okay. Rabbi Sai, that's the Ravid. Yeshus Pashtus. The Ozarua also focuses a little bit in the world of Metzius, but the Ozarua highlights a little bit of a different nuance between normal chetichin asveich, namely derech bliyas, in contrast to just two liquids that are mixed together. So says the Ozarua, and again, this is hard for us to understand, says the Ozarua, the idea of chetichin as nevela, kishmai kenu, that the Isser takes over the Dovra Mutter. The Mamish spreads throughout the Dovra Mutter, and it takes over the entire Dovra Mutter. Not only does it take it over Metzias, but Api Alocha now becomes Chetichin Asa Nevela. Chetichin Asa Nevela is predicated on the assumption that there was a Metzias of a takeover, the Dovra Osser, onto the Dovra Mutter. Says the Arzaru Abameh Dovra Mutter, that happens when you have Belios, when you have Lach Belachs. So again, I don't understand this. I'm not an expert in the seventh grade of chemistry, but it sounds to me like the Ozarua is almost saying the opposite of what the Ravid is saying. No, it doesn't sound a little bit like that. The Ozarua is saying that when you have a dover lach, so the Issa never really spreads entirely. It never gets through to the kishkis of the entire dover lach and to the entire teroves. And therefore, how can you call it chetichin asas nevela? Whereas the Ravid is saying that because the dover lach spreads so well, it's ois, it's no longer chetichin asas nevela because the hispashus is complete. Whereas the Ozarua seems to be saying that dafka, because the hispashus is not so complete, because it's not like a blia when you have a blia is falling onto a potato, that's a real spread throughout the chetichah. This is different, so therefore chetichin asas nevela doesn't apply. That's what he sounds like he's saying. So again, it's also a focus on the Metzius, but it sounds to me, again, from my limited knowledge of this topic, it sounds almost like a little bit of an opposite. But the Ozarua is saying that low, I don't want to use the word mispashto because that's going to be mamish an opposite. So somehow low nichnas b'chol ha-chaticha. Okay? But somehow didn't take over the entire chaticha. So the common denominator of these two mahalchim is something to do with the world of Metzius, which again, I don't quite understand. Yeah.
What do you think that, like, from the value that it's a few
No, so he's saying, so then nothing really became usher. It got so in his bottom. So it got so spread out, nothing becomes usher. So come on, let me show him and put things a little bit more into the world of halacha, which at least one of them is very, very easy for us to understand. Probably the easiest of all the Rishonim's biyot, the mechalik, between wooden of halach and contrast to blios, is the pshat of the Ran. The Ran is the easiest pshat in all of Tichinas Nevela. Why? Because the Ran took a Tichinas Nevela, at least Bishari Surim, and took it out of the realm of a Deraisa. And you're in the realm of the Rabbanon, so we know exactly what we have to focus on. What did the Ran say? What was the thrust of the sugya according to the Ran? Is there a Gezeira Mishum Bas B'cholav, or is there no Gezeira Mishum Bas B'cholav? If and when there's a Gezeira, then Tichinas Nevela is going to kick in with the Rabbanon. If there's no reason to make a Gezeira, because you wouldn't even have a Bas B'cholav problem here, even if you started, so then there's nothing to be concerned with. So comes the Ran and says, just as we said with the Sur of Yavish B'Yavish, when we spoke about the Yavish B'Yavish, we spoke about Issa Mashu, so we said according to the Ran, whenever there's no potential of having Bas B'chov D'Araisa, then there's nothing to be worried about, then there's no Sukya of Chetich Nas Nevela. Says the Ran, the same is true by Davalach. What is Davalach? What's the case of Davalach? You have cold wine, I'm taking cold wine and mixing it with another cup of cold wine. It's mixing. If you don't say Chetich Nas Nevela, the next thing you know is you're going to say, you're not going to say Chetich Nas Nevela by Bas B'chalov when you have cold milk and cold chicken soup mixed together. So what? Big deal. There's never Chetich Nas Nevela mid-deraisa by Bas B'chalov by quote-unquote lach b'lach. The Bas B'chalov is always derech bishul, it's always derech blias. Of course there's going to have to be some real permeating of taste. So since the whole original model of the Torah, Chetich Nas Nevela, is only by derech bishul asher Torah, so the whole lach b'lach, the whole model falls by the wayside. So there's no reason at all to invoke Chetich Nas Nevela by derech b'lach. So according to the Ran, the bottom line is that there's in gezeira mishum bas b'cholof. That's the bottom line. There's nothing to be gezer in mishum bas b'cholof. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. We're getting there. Okay. So at least the Ran is talking about cold, because that's what the Gemara is talking about. Okay. At least they're cold. Comes the Mordechai with another Sisrei Torah, but at least it's in the world of halacha, and the Mordechai says that you know why there's no Chetich Nas Nevela by lach b'lach, because you're missing the first word. What's the first word? Chaticha. It's got to be a chaticha. It's not a chaticha. It's not a piece of meat. It's not a chunk of meat. Ois Chetich Nas Nevela. Sisrei Torah. Now the truth is, this is not the first time that we saw such a thing. We saw it quoted by a Tosfos, or somebody should have seen it quoted by a Tosfos, which just is rejected. Remember way, way back when we spoke about the famous Kash of Tosfos, how come Klipa doesn't keep on going forever and ever and ever? If you hold that Chetich Nas Nevela B'Shari Surim, so then every time you have an issue of Kedei Klipa, let's say you have Derech Tzli, Derech Malicha, whatever creates Yilal Govet, so whatever the categories that create Kedei Klipa are, why doesn't Klipa, Asa Klipa, Asa Klipa, Asa Klipa, everything should create Ad Bias Goyal, and the entire food should become Asur? So Tosfos had to work really, really, really hard to explain away why, even though Chetich Nas Nevela B'Shari Surim, Ben Etam, but still not going to go from on forever. Why? Because what was the aside of Tosfos? Who remembers? What was the aside of Tosfos? Ein Anasar Yochel Esar L'Makom Shesatz B'Yochel Esar L'Makom. Okay? It's Ein Anasar. That since the original Bliya, Lamaisa can't get any further. The original Bliya only had the umph, only had the koiches to get Kedei Klipa, whatever the cutoff point was. It itself never had the koich to get further. So Ein Anasar Yochel Esar L'Makom Shesatz B'Yochel Esar. That was what the Tosfos invoked to explain what other phenomena. What was the other halacha that Tosfos used that to explain? Why is it that a tipa is in a yotze, right? Something which is balua. It is said balua is not yotze mechaticha lechaticha ela yedei rotev, right? So Tosfos has the same kasha. Why not? Let it aser up the chaticha and let that chaticha aser the next chaticha. That was the Ran's kasha. And the Ran answered to that kasha? Yeah, no chenam bitacha does. The Gemara says it doesn't? Yeah, that Gemara. Don't forget that Gemara. But that comes, Tosfos and says, no, it doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? So Tosfos is explaining and working. Even in Bas B'chol D'Araisa, Tosfos is trying to figure out why doesn't that tipa go jump to the next chaticha. So Tosfos developed this whole shtickle Torah of Ein Anasar. So in the middle of that Tosfos quoted from Rav Elazar Mitz, who gave a different Torah to that kasha. Why is that Kedei Klipa doesn't ask the next Kedei Klipa? What did the Rav Elazar Mitz say? Anyone remember? So Rav Elazar Mitz says because it ain't a chaticha. It's only a klipa. It's not a chaticha. So you don't say chaticha nas nevela. It's just a apsak klipa bialma. So what? You know what Tosfos said about that? Tosfos said lo nihira, lo mechuva. It doesn't make any sense. How do you say such a thing? It's an arbitrary teretz. So it's not just the Rav Elazar Mitz saying it. The Mordechai is by quoting from Rav Elazar Mitz. It's a group of Rishonim who are saying this idea that Chatichah Nas Levela is presupposing the existence of a Chatichah. Sisri Torah, we're not sure why, maybe we'll figure out as we go on. So, bottom line is, Ein Chatichah, it's merely a Davalach. So, bottom line is, we have four different Biurim within this possible distinction, which was invoked by these four Rishonim to explain away the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah. But again, let's not forget, Rabbeinu Ephraim himself didn't say any of this stuff. Rabbeinu Ephraim had to look for other reasons, i.e. there's no Chatichah Nas Levela b'Shari. Rabbeinu Tam didn't say any of this stuff because he had to look for another reason, namely it's in Isser Ayidei Mashu. The Ramban didn't say any of this stuff because he says it was taka, that was taka the Mechlokes Amorim. But you have a whole group of four different Rishonim for different nuances, some in the world of Metziah, some in the world of Halacha, to explain away this phenomenon why Ein Chatichah Nas Levela b'Davalach. Anytime you say Shtigl Torah to limit Chatichah Nas Levela, you have to cover yourself on all bases. Namely, you have to make sure you're checking in your rearview mirror to make sure that you didn't contradict the Gemara about Chatichah Nas Levela. Now, there aren't all that many Gemaras about Chatichah Nas Levela, but there are some, or maybe one. And lo and behold, the only Gemara that actually says Chatichah Nas Levela, I mean, there's another Gemara that may say it, but may not mean it, but the only Gemara that really, really says it, if you remember, was a Gemara that said it in a context of a shita that we don't really paskin like, namely back to Rabbi Yehuda's days. If you remember back to the way, way beginning of Siman Tzadi Beis. I didn't tell you Siman Tzadi Beis was going to be a short Siman. Back to the beginning of Siman Tzadi Beis, and we spoke about before we had the Tipus Cholov that fell into the Chaticha, we had the Chaticha's Basar, Shenofal, Nofal Asocha, Kedir Shel, whatever, Shel Cholov. So we had a whole discussion, the Gemara had a whole discussion, about wait a second. Maybe the what's going to happen is as follows. You have a big piece of meat falling to a big, big hot tub of milk, so maybe the following is going to happen. Maybe some of that milk is going to go into the meat, it's going to mix with the meat juices, and it's going to become basar b'chalav, and then it's going to shoot right back into the chalav itself, and it's going to asar up all the rest of the chalav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says there are two strikes against this, because number one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a min b'min in a bottle. So even if it's the slightest, the smallest amount of treif of milk, chalav nevela, the Gemara used the term chalav nevela, that's going to ask all the milk according to Rabbi Yehuda. But in order to get to that point, the Gemara had to invoke chatichah nas nevela. Because if you don't know chatichah nas nevela, then the iser of the basa going to the chalav is not really iser al-shem the chalav shebo, it's really an iser al-shem the basa shebo, and the basa is min b'shein amino, so the basa is not going to aser it b'mashu. So the only way to get to the Gemara's kasha of saying that it's min b'mino chatichah nas nevela chalav nevela, that was presupposing the existence of chatichah nas nevela, combined together with min b'mino b'mashu. That's why, in fact, what led the Rif, and some Mishonim Ran claimed it as a Rif, maybe the Rif denied Chatichah Nas Levela because the only Gemara that really said it was according to Rabbi Yehuda. But again, we don't go. But the fact that the Gemara does clearly apply, at least in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, Chatichah Nas Levela there is pretty much not debatable. So the question is, wait a second, what exactly is going on over here? Point to me exactly the Chatichah Nas Levela that's happening. Pinpoint the Chatichah Nas Levela that's happening. So some of the milk is going from the big vat of milk, big pot of milk, is going inside the piece of meat. And it's cooking up, it's a liquid, right? It's a liquid of milk, and presumably it's mixing together with meat juice, right? Because what's coming out, there's no solids coming back into the milk. I don't see pieces of meat floating around inside the milk. I see juice, I see liquid that's coming out. So I have a liquid of chalav that went into the meat. My stomach picked up liquid of meat along the way, mixed together, hocus pocus, became basar b'chalav, and then shoots back out again into the milk. And what did the Gemara call this? Chatichah Nas Levela. This is a chadavalach. This is babalach. It's lach balach the way I just presented it. That my little, so I refer you, I did not remember this. I was looking over the notes. I did not remember the shakmatai going on at the time, the shirum 9 years ago, but there was a little footnote, and it's a little on the bottom of the notes that said that we had a lot of trouble in Shir being magdir, why precisely this is called Lach Balach, and we came to the realization, as I said, quoting Farish notes, I don't remember this story, we came to the realization, that I don't remember who we quoted from, that's the only way to understand the Gemara. That's why the Rishonim are calling this Lach Balach, that it's not, there is no solid coming out. There is no solid piece of chicken, solid piece of meat coming back into the milk. So it's only the liquidy part of the meat that's the bas b'chol that interests us that's coming back. Okay, we're gonna get to how this style of this Gemara fits into different Rishonim. So again, so it is the kash. So the Shach discovered America. The Shach discovered this Gemara and said, hey, wait a second, hold on, you got four Pshatim in the Rishonim. What's going on? What are you talking about? I mean, there's no chnichtal v'davalach. That's the case. The Gemara is davalach. So the whole shtigl dara, no matter what pshat you say, l'chor you have a big problem. It's contradicted by that Gemara. Unless you say.
I was just going to say, it doesn't necessarily need to be lach b'lach, according to not all of the ways that the Rishonim are describing it. There should never be any such thing as called nevela, no matter.
Okay, so let's see, we can make sense out of this. So comes the Shach and says that l'chor, this Gemara undermines everything, all four positions on the board. Unless one has to be mechalik and say that, wait a second, this is not quite the exact same chetich nas nevela that we're talking about. We're talking about a chetich nas nevela that's not hot, it's not derech bishul. We're talking about a different kind of a chetich nas nevela. The chetich nas nevela of lach balach, of chulin, of kuches, of Rabbi Yehuda's world, that's talking about when it's derech bishul. That's a whole different ballgame. When it's derech bishul, derech bishul echud, in contrast to davalach. Davalach means cold davalach, not hot davalach. It's a different ballgame, legame. What exactly does that mean? So let's see if we can make sense out of this. Assuming that that's the correct chiluf, can we make sense out of this? So the first rishon that seems pretty simple to understand right off the bat. Who's the easiest one to explain away? Who's the easiest out of these four to explain away if that chiluf is correct? I'd say the Ran is the easiest, right? Because the Ran, as you pointed out correctly, the Ran never really meant to say that it's impossible to ever have a gzeira and by lach b'lach hot b'os b'cholah. The Ran was talking about the lach b'lach of the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, which is cold b'cold, so tzonim b'tzonim, tak will never be b'os b'cholah deraisa. So there was never a reason to make a gzeira. But if it's like a hot lach b'lach, you're mixing hot meat juice with hot milk, so yeah, that is bas b'chov deraisa. Lam alon, which state bas b'chov is only by davi yavish? What's the kid that could be bas b'chov deraisa? Dos is bas, dos cholov. So the two mixed together, that's called bas b'chov deraisa. So when the Gemara said in Maseches Chulin, that's called chetichas nas nevela, that is absolutely no relevance to our discussion. Ein chetichas nas nevela b'davalach means b'davalach tzeinim b'tzeinim. It's cold liquids mixed together in the end of Avodah Zarah. That's the davalach that the Ran was talking about. So the Ran, we could read a little bit of a sigh of relief. What other Rishon could we perhaps also explain away? Perhaps the Ozerua. Because what did the Ozerua say? Again, we didn't quite understand this, but the Ozerua said, when you have lach balach, it never really gets through and through, and it's got to get through and through. For chateich and as nevel, you want to ask the whole thing, it's got to be a complete, completely going through. So one could argue that maybe what the Ozerua's Metzias meant is that when you mix cold wine, and the two are not really nispashet lagamre, so that falls short in terms of applying chetichas nas nevela. That's what echnas davalach. When you turn on the fire, you heat it up together, so ein lecha pashas gedol mizel, so it's or ein lecha knisa gedol mizel. So according to the Ozerua, you're going to meet the bark of chetichas nas nevela as long as you have a davar cham of lach balach. So again, either according to the Ran in the world of halacha, or in the world of the Ozerua, in the world of Metzias, we can begin to explain away a little bit why there should be a difference. But l'chora, the other two Rishonim are leaving us a little bit hanging. According to the Ravid, the chetichas nas nevela means that whenever you have a lot of espashtos, then you're okay. You're going to tell me that when you turn on the fire, you get more espashtos or less espashtos. Fire tends to move things. But the molecules don't things move around faster when there's more fire. So according to the Ravid, the goal is to get as much hispashtus as possible. So I got even greater hispashtus. Madach by cold yayin be yayin, there's no chetichas nas nevela. Kavachay by cold liquids, there shouldn't be chetichas nas nevela. And similarly, according to the Mordechai, if you hold, that's the din, sister Torah, in Halachi Nekabo, that ein chaticha nas nevela, when there's nishken chaticha, so there's nishken chaticha, there's no chaticha, but it's a difference of the tolerance it's cold. So the Chor derived it, and the Mordechai still need a little bit more touching up on.
That's
tonight's homework. I don't know. So the Chor, the answer is as follows. The answer is that we have to go back to the drawing board, go back to this Ravid story, and back to this Mordechai story, that the Ravid put this, somehow superimposed this new condition on Chetichas nas nevela. It's got to be a lack of his pashnas. It's a metziyistic problem that it never really spreads properly, and that's the source of all evils in the world. That's the reason why Chetichas nas nevela kicks in. And according to the Mordechai, Chaticha, it's got to be a Chaticha, Nishkin, Chaticha, Nishkin, Chaticha nas nevela. Rabbi Yisai, what were these Rishonim saying? Are these Svaras D'oraisa? Can't be. But these Rishonim, maybe, I'm guessing, were saying is as follows. Going back to Rabbeinu Atam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, at the end of the day, in terms of pure lomdus, Rabbeinu Ephraim was right. Rabbeinu Ephraim was right, the Chatech Nazvela really makes no sense outside of Bas B'chol. It took the Vienna and Abishitz 500 years later to discover Tam Kikov Rabbeinu Atam Lashidus. But the Pashat Dvarim is, Rabbeinu Ephraim and lomdus is 100% correct. How can you talk about Chatech Nazvela in the realm of Shari Surim? Also, is the Isur Amid, the Hamut is Beter Amid, the Bas B'chol, Zehet, combines, yeah, that's Chatech Nazvela. Could be these Rishonim are saying, you're right, that in terms of pure lomdus, there really is no reason to have Chatech Nasvel outside of Bas B'chol. But there's a din, call it Midirabonim, there's a chashash of, we call it Chatech Nasvel because we have lack of a better term to call it. It looks like Rabbeinu Ephraim's Chatech Nasvel of Bas B'chol. It looks like a deraisa. It's not really a deraisa. It's a chashash. What's the chashash? So the Ravid said, the chashash is that when you don't have his pashtus, you never really know, right? You never really know where you never really know whether you have the proper ratio or not. You never really know. So comes the Ravid and says, within this din derabbanan, the secondary call, that's not the this is not Rabbeinu Ephraim's real chesed. This is not even Rabbeinu Tam's real chesed. This is a new din mit derabbanan called chesed nevela b'shari surim that was instituted because of a fear of lack of hispashtus. So whenever that hispashtus factor can be overcome, or if you lach b'lach, then the whole din disappears. But when you're dealing with real chetichan as nevela of basa b'chol of derais and derech bishol, the loich partly mit hispashtus without hispashtus. Tachlis, zehete v'zehete, they combine together. That's the real makor of Chatech Nasnavela. The Ravid only put the brakes on Chatech Nasnavela by invoking it when there is a spashas, not a spashas. That's when in the secondary type of Chatech Nasnavela. When you're dealing with a chumr, but the rabbanon of Chatech Nasnavela, it's like a chashash of Eshel Sok, like the Rashbos from Pshat. It's a chashash sticker of Chatech Nasnavela. Then you could argue, lach, lach, you have a show, it's not the pilpul. But when you're dealing with the real din, the etzem din of Chatech Nasnavela, of Bas B'chol D'oraisa, it's hot milk with hot meat juice cooking together. How can you hide behind and say, no problem, it's hispashtus? Hispashtus from today till tomorrow, Mechilus covered hispashtus. It's still going to be also, because you have Bishul, Bas B'chol, you have Zehet, and Zehet to combine together, it's also. And similarly, what did the Mordechai say? What kind of svar is that? It's got Chaticha, it's not Chaticha, come on. Chatech Nasnavela D'oraisa depends on the existence of a Chatech. What are you kidding? Chatech Nasnavela depends on Zehet and Zehet combined together to create a Nisr. So what did the Mordechai mean? The stone with the Mordechai meant is as follows. He meant in the world of D'oraisa, Chatech Nasnavela, it's a little partly whether Yechtech or no Chatech, whether it's a Klippa, not a Klippa, whether it's a Lach, it's a Yav, it's all Chatech Nasnavela. But in the secondary din of Chatech Nasnavela, mid Rabbanan, why would Chazal institute the secondary din of Chatech Nasnavela? Because you just ass it up, a gezunta piece, a good chunk of food just became treif. It's true, in pure lomdus, it didn't really become treif. The reason why the potato became treif was because there's a little drop of chazer in it. But lefi losha b'nei adam, I have a treif of potato in front of me. I have a chatichas potato in front of me, a chatichas chazer in front of me. It just became chatichas nasas nevela, mid the rabbanon. So comes the Mordechai and says, that chumra the rabbanon of chatichas nasas nevela will only be invoked when you have a chaticha, they have a choshim in front of you. If it's just swimming, you have a liquid swimming around together, you have little klippas touching one another, gesh, mez, nishkin, chaticha, there's nothing to worry about. But going back to real chaticha nasnavela, if you're in the world of the arising chaticha nasnavela, of basa b'chol, of cooking together in a pot, and just because you're lacking the shame chaticha, asma, chaticha nasnavela, the araisa, doesn't require a chaticha. Chaticha nasnavela, the rabbanon, we call it Chatech Nasvel because we have nothing else to call it. So we call it Chatech Nasvel means it's another chash, it just became asar. So you can't just start to cut it apart and say only the chaz is asar, the potatoes mutter. No, lashem b'yav, the whole thing is asar. But that is the rabbanon, what we call the quote unquote Chatech Nasvel, is limited to yavish, not to lach. So again, it's possible that we can defend this idea of Echtech Nasvel, the chiluk that the shach forces us to realize we must come to this conclusion. One could defend this possible chiluk and still have that Gemara Maseches Chulin without contradicting us, according to all four of the Biurim. But again, just to keep things in proper perspective, this is all. So today's show is all assuming that such a principle exists. It may or may not exist. We're not even sure that it exists altogether. This chulin. How does it play out l'maisa? So comes the Ramah. The Ramah's in the habit of making psharas. So what's the lashon Ramah? Who said the lashon Ramah? It's a little bit confusing. So the Ramah says, well, how should we paskin in the shayla of chetichas le'avodah v'lach? It's a little bit of a funny question. Should we paskin chetichas le'avodah v'lach? Should we not paskin chetichas le'avodah v'lach? Should we be machmir mekel for rishon mekel and rishon machmir? Well, how should we be machriya? So what does the Ramah say? According to his style of psak, it depends what area of halacha you're in. If you're in the year, chetichas as the veil of shari surim, so you always have in the back burner, no pun intended, you always have in the back of your mind who to rely on. There's always Rabbeinu Ephraim and Shulchan Aruch passing that way, so maybe there's no chetichas on the veil altogether. So that's a snake speaker. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam is right, maybe Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. If Rabbeinu Tam is right, well, maybe it's a davalach and then you're home free. So the Ramah is willing to be makele chetichas the veil, but davalach, at least vis a vis shari surim. But, legabe basa v'cholav. So the simple reading of the Ramah sounds like the Ramah saying, "Legabe bas b'cholav, I'm a little bit weary to be mekel." You know why? So if you just read the Ramah Kepshuto, it sounds like he's saying, "Well, it's bas b'cholav. The stakes are much greater because here everybody accepts chetichas nevela. So I don't want to rely on the kulas of chetichas b'davalach." So it sounds like the Ramah saying, similar like we said before about the like combining shitas, that bas b'cholav are going to be notel hachmas. So the Shach points out that can't be what the Ramah meant, because to say that chetichas nevela by bosa b'cholav, real derech bishul bosa b'cholav, is a tali in a machlekes of rishonim? That can't be. There's no rishon that says against the Gemara. The Gemara says pemoli and kufches and chulin that there's chetichas nevela b'davalach in bishul bosa b'cholav d'iraisa. So the Ramon, when the Ramon meant that it didn't mean it did it, I don't know. I'm not sure what the Ramon meant, says the Shach. But I'm telling you, says the Shach, that nobody can be making on that. Nobody can try to sell you this kula of chetichas nevela b'davalach by bishul bosa b'cholav d'iraisa. It's impossible. You can't hide behind the Ravids and Azaruas and Rans and Morach. You can't hide behind anything because the Gemara says pemoli that it's a problem. So when all the dust settles, we have this grandiose kula out there called chetichas nevela b'davalach, which you have to show and say exists. The four possible reasons, you have to show them, say they never heard of it, and if it makes any way onto the page in Shulchan Aruch, it only makes it into the realm of Shari Surim, and Bas B'chov, the Raisa, it doesn't even get started. Rabbi said, there's one last Dekuda of this Sugya, and that's going back to what we spoke about a little bit on Sunday. We pointed out that there's a limitation of Chetichas Nevela B'davalach, even according to Rabbi Natam, the book stops here as to how the original Tarovus became awesome. If the original Tarovus became also Derech Nesinas Tam, so then you can negotiate Chetichas Nevela. If the original Tarovus only became also Derech Isur Mashahu, then there's nothing to discuss. And that was Rabbeinu Tam's reading of the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. The reason why Chetichas Nevela doesn't make its grand appearance in the end of Avodah Zarah is because it doesn't really belong there, because the original Isur was only Derech Mashahu. So comes the Taz, has bought with the Kasha. Comes the Taz and says, forget about whether Tarovus number one should potentially become Osir and create a problem for Tarovus number two. And you're going from Mashu into number one, and then from some of number one into number two. Forget about how we viewed the whole Tarovus number one. Isn't there Mashu in there? Doesn't the word Mashu mean Mashu? Doesn't Isur Mashu mean the slightest infinitesimal amount, the teeniest molecule of Isur creates a problem? So what are the Rishonim telling me? It's literally the time telling you a story that Tarovus number one can't create a problem for Tarovus number two because you don't say Chetichas Das Nevela by Isur Mashu. Good! Don't say Chetichas Das Nevela by Isur Mashu. Zol Zayin! That's still a problem. If a little tiny drop fell into Tarovus number one, and then some of Tarovus number one fell into Tarovus number two, it should be Asur, not Asur Chetichas Das Nevela. Asur Alts what? Alts Mashu itself, the same Mashu, went swimming. It went swimming to the first Tarovus, and the same Mashu went swimming to the second Tarovus. It's only Mashu, you don't need that much. One self, one molecule, one Mashu. So comes the Taz and says, Zetman Fado, the following you said, the Taz made up a new cloud. What's the cloud called? Trey Mashu Lohemidim. Yeah. Mashu can only go so far. Why that's true, we got to figure out. I'm trying to figure out why the Matzias should or should not be true about that. But the Taz says, Zetman from that, from Rabbeinu Tam, from all the Gemaras, all the Gemaras in Avodah Zarah, all the Sugyas, the Trey Mashu Lohemidim. So, well, what a Gevalik you say. It's great if you believe in Rabbi Yehuda. We don't really hold it, Rabbi Yehuda, so we hold that there's really nothing that's also Mashu anyway, so we don't get too excited about this anyway. No, says the Taz, you better get excited. You know why you better get excited? Why? Because every once in a while, we also fall back on quote-unquote Rabbi Yehuda. Every once in a while, we bump into a situation where we have Yisurim, which are also B'mashu. Where are those cases? Of course, the most common case is Chometz B'Pesach. Famous Gemara Maseches Pesachim that may not exist, but the Gemara says, Chometz B'Pesach, Osir, what's the next word everybody knows? Osir Mashu. That's what we think it says. That's what most of the Rishonim thought it said, but hopefully we'll get to, down the line, we'll talk about whether there was a minority view in the Rishon that disagreed with that. Okay, that maybe there was one view in Rishon in the Shulchan Aruch Meir Tam who said a Chavos Pesach is not also Gemashah. Maybe you can't say. But conventional wisdom is the Chavos Pesach is also Gemashah. I heard this. I once heard Shlomo Kabach. He was talking at a Shal Shudas. I was there years ago. I've been alive for quite some time. He was talking at a Shal Shudas, and he was telling over some maisel or some story about someone whose pot got traced up to Pesach, and there was a chometz that fell into the chicken, and the poor person didn't have anything, and he went to the Rav, and he was juicing up a little bit. And in the middle of the story, so he said, and the Rav said that Min HaShemayim, you can hold like Rabbeinu Tam, the chometz bezal al hasa b'mashu, So that was, he was discussing from that vantage point about, can we bring star shit, this Rabbeinu Tam, the chometz bezal is not hasa b'mashu. Anyway, so I forgot a bit of the details of the story, but we don't usually pass the country. Okay. Except for Shal Shudas time, yeah.
So does that mean if you have a big pot on Mashu Chametz Bell, in order to Masher it, you put a big spoon and
you put it in the soup out? Let's hold off a Kasher and can for Pesach. We got a while for you, okay? So bottom line is, Chametz Pesach is also a Mashu. Comes to Taz and says, if a little bit of Mashu Chametz fell into one Taraivis, and then a little bit of that tarovas falls into Yedim, into another tarovas. So he says, oh, guess what? I got good news for you. Rabbeinu Tam just solved the problem. Trei mashu lo amrina. The same way in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, or in the worldview of the Gemara in the end of Stam Yena, at the end of Avodah Zarah by Yayin Nesach, trei mashu lo amrina, and that's why Chetichat Zveila. The only discussion is Chetichat Zveila, but nobody was bothered to ask about the mashu, because the original mashu was tachan negated, because trei mashu lo amrina. So Zaktitas, Trei Mashu is going to solve the problem. It's going to help us in Luchas Pesach as well. So comes the Shach and says, what? He says, Ein Anidim Dem L'Raya B'chal, the two sugyas are not meeting each other. He says, there is no sugya called Trei Mashu L'Aminim. There never was such a sugya Trei Mashu L'Aminim. Why in Avodah Zarah were we not worried about the Mashu itself? Because what were the two Tarovises in Avodah Zarah? It was a little bit of trefa wine, fell into wine, and then a little bit of kosher wine fell into what? Fell into water. Remember? Because when it comes to water, yayin b'mayim, harizah b'noisin tam. Even by stam yen, by yayin nesach, yayin b'mayim, mimshen amino is b'shishub, is b'noisin tam. So comes the shach and says, the original drop of mashu is there. It's there in its fullest glory. It's in the second taroivis. But what happens to it in the second taroivis? Bakla mevuto. That little mashu is bakla mevuto because the water is mevatal the yayin, because mimbishen amino is bakla even by yayin esach. But says the shach, by chametz for pesach, how do we pass in hilchas a chametz for pesach also mashu? What's the next line in the Gemara? Beim amino, beim shen amino. If a little bit of chametz falls in, no matter what it falls into, it's never going to be bakla. There is no such Gemara that says trei mashu amino. Lo hayu dvar me'adam, says the shach. All the Gemara meant is that you can't ask the second tarovus because of the original mashu, because it's going to be botel, because it's mimishen amino. So that's why the Gemara is talking about being the shear of chetich anas bevela. But it comes to Pesach where that whole kula is off the ground, because it doesn't matter whether it's mimishen amino. So according to everybody, you have original isamashu, that original isamashu is taka amid the other wood. So if you have a little bit of a chomet falls into a pot of soup, and then some of that soup falls into another soup, and some of that soup falls into another soup, and another spent 500,000 soups along the way, we still hold that chomet is best, because also the mashu. So it's taka going to be a problem. There never was a kula called trei mashu lo amrinan. So chopanim, this was, we can make a siyum on one portion of chetich anas levela. The next major sugya coming up, we're still in Siman Tadi Beis, we're nowhere near the end of the Siman. The next major application of Tipas Cholav, Shenofla, Alachaticha, is the extract. Wow. Where'd that come from? Was it real? Okay. I was going to draw a picture, but the next major application is the issue of a Tipas Cholav, Shenofla, not Alachaticha Shabasar, but on a kederish of basar, and lights on also. Whether there's meat in the kederah, not meat in the kederah, is it for the kinegah basar? Very very complicated shailas in the end of Siman Tzadi Beis. But the starting point of everything is going to be everything we spoke about tipus cholav, bitul b'shishim, tichanas nas nevela, and how that's going to play out in terms of the complicated. So this was the easy part of tichanas nevela. Now hopefully we have to take all of that and move it on to the next level. Okay, so hopefully all's well Sunday. I hope to be back on time. We've been here to Israel, but I should be coming back Sunday morning. So. unless you know, I get delayed or something, so we'll assume she has Rebbe time somewhere. You guys want to daven now? Guys want to all daven later? How many guys want to daven now? Nobody? Okay, so we'll do it. Okay. This could be great. This could be a whole new one. Oh, here's the one.
Cut off the last 2 minutes.